For the record, my name is Kinsey Milhone. I'm a private investigator licensed by the state of California, now 33 years old, 118 pounds in a 5'6" frame. My hair is dark, thick, and straight. I have hazel eyes, a nose that's been busted twice, but still manages to function pretty well, I think. If I were asked to rate my looks on a scale of 1 to 10, I wouldn't. I'd been living since New Year's with my landlord, Henry Pitts, an 82-year-old gent whose converted single-car garage apartment in Santa Teresa I'd been renting for 2 years. This nondescript but otherwise serviceable abode had been blown sky-high, and Henry had suggested that I move into his small back bedroom while my place was being rebuilt. I woke at 6 a.m. that Thursday morning, rolled out of bed and into my running shoes, and headed out Henry's back door. I jogged 3 miles and was home again 30 minutes later in time for Henry to sing "Happy Birthday to You" as he pulled a pan of freshly baked cinnamon rolls out of the oven. Being serenaded is not my favorite activity, but he did it so badly I could only be amused and gratified. I showered, pulled on jeans, a t-shirt, and my tennis shoes, and then Henry handed me a gift-wrapped jeweler's box which contained the newly minted brass key to my apartment. In a 2-person ceremonial procession, we walked across the flagstone patio to the front door of my place. I tried not to conjure up fantasies of any kind, but what I saw when the door swung open left me inarticulate. The entire apartment had the feel of a ship's interior. The walls were highly polished teak and oak with shelves and cubbyholes on every side. In the living room, a sofa had been built into a window bay with 2 royal blue canvas director's chairs arranged to form a conversational grouping. The dimensions of the main room were still roughly 15 feet on a side, but now there was a sleeping loft above, accessible by way of a tiny spiral staircase. I wound my way up, staring in amazement at the double-sized platform bed with drawers underneath. Loft windows looked out to the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other. Just off the loft, there was a small bathroom with a sunken tub and a window right at tub level. I could bathe among the treetops looking out at the ocean. When the inspection tour was complete, I stared at Henry, speechless. A phenomenon that made him laugh out loud, tickled with himself that he'd executed his scheme so perfectly. Close to tears, I leaned my forehead against his chest while he patted me awkwardly. I couldn't ask for a better friend. He left me alone soon afterward, and I went through every cabinet and drawer, drinking in the scent of the wood. It took me 15 minutes to move my possessions in. Most of what I owned had been destroyed by the same bomb that flattened the old place. Luckily, my all-purpose dress had survived, along with a favorite vest and the air fern Henry'd given me for Christmas. With the insurance money, I'd bought a few odds and ends, jeans and jumpsuits, and then I'd tucked the rest in a money market account where it was merrily collecting interest. At 8:45, I headed into the office, a quick 10-minute drive into town. I dispensed with several minor items, typing up a couple of invoices for 2 standing accounts. The last name on the list of phone calls was Mrs. Clyde Gersh, who had left a message on my machine late the day before. I dialed her number, and a woman picked up on the other end. "Mrs. Gersh?"
"Yes?"
"Kinsey Milhone returning your call," I said. There was a split second of silence.
"Oh, yes, Miss Milhone. I have a matter I'd like to discuss with you. Is there any chance you might meet with me here sometime today?"
"Sure," I said. She gave me the address, and since I didn't have anything else on the books, I said I'd be there within the hour. The address she'd given me was in the heart of town, not far from my office, one of the older blocks of single-family residences on a quiet tree-lined street. The house was a shambling affair, 2 stories of dark green shingle set sideways on a lot dense with sycamores. An obese black woman in a canary-yellow uniform let me in. "Mrs. Gersh is out on the upstairs porch," she said, then lumbered off. I had a momentary glimpse of the living room. The room was shadowy and cried out for table lamps. The whole house was muffled in silence and smelled of cauliflower and curry.